Blog Talk Radio.
Cell phones, the body scanners. I had Dr. Busby, top chemist.
chemical physicist on, and he said many of my colleagues believe this is being done on purpose because sperm count's down by over 85%. Now they're saying in the U.S. they're going to raise the safe level of radiation to 25,000 times what it was. They're saying don't worry that it's in the milk and the food. It's good for you. Fukushima is still blowing up and smoking, and they're telling us it's no problem. And there's and now Ann Coulter comes out and says radiation's good. Mombiot, who runs world government, he's saying he's now for nuclear power. I mean, this many people believe they're putting him in population centers to reduce fertility.
And other things, you see, because at the end of everything, beyond the physical body that we see, we are an electromagnetic field. People call it the auric field. It can be measured. It's electromagnetic. Just as the Earth has a magnetosphere, so do humans. And when you introduce sources of radiation that are going to disharmonize and disrupt and disturb, distort that energy field, then you're throwing a forward into health, into the way we think, and all these things, the way our brains work, a whole lot of potential consequences because you're distorting the harmony of the human energy field. And it's definitely a cold, calculated policy. Like I said, I've been ticking them off, the increasing sources of radiation. And there's another one that a lot of people miss, and that's HAARP. Because what HAARP is doing in Alaska is it's bouncing a fantastic amount of power of radio waves into the ionosphere, the upper atmosphere of the planet, which has, in among other things, the role of protecting the Earth from incoming cosmic radiation that wouldn't be terribly good for us. And, you look at the document that came out around 1999 out of the European Parliament, the report on HAARP that people can see on the internet, where it's actually talking about the fact then that HAARP was shooting holes in the ionosphere and opening up the Earth, therefore us, to cosmic radiation that should be deflected away. Now, all this stuff is not happening by accident. It's a coordinated attempt to change the sea that we live in. Because, you know, if you want to affect all this fish at the same time, what do? You affect the sea. And we live in a sea of energy, the Earth's energy field. And if you manipulate that, you therefore affect all the people who are operating in that field. And that's what's going on.
Well, look at how they approve the cell phones, which thousands of studies now admit manipulates the mind. I mean, we can just search the term right now. Cell phones affect brain waves, cancers, the cell towers, the RF, and all their studies from even before they legalized it showed it would do this, but they still roll it out, even though it hurts the elite's own children. Why do the globalists love to hurt themselves, not just us?
Well, maybe they're not quite the same as us. Maybe that's the answer, and therefore they're not affected in the same way. I mean, you know, Alex, the rabbit hole of all this goes so deep, deeper than any of us have got so far, but we will. And we're going to have to open our minds in the end to the fact that the situation we're facing is much greater and operates over multiple different levels beyond the ones that we see, touch, and taste. And they clearly are not going to irradiate the planet if it's going to have a fundamental effect on them too. So there's something different about them. And when we talk about these bloodlines and all the rest of it, well, the bloodlines are genetics. The genetics are the physical level of it all, but they are an expression of a vibrational field. And maybe their vibrational field is not affected in this way, the way that the rest of the human vibrational field is, because these are hybrids. They're not the same as humans. This is a much bigger story than people realize, even those that have awoken to great amounts of it.
Well, I only go with what I can prove, but there's no doubt that they love killing humans. The globalists love diseasing and permanently wrecking the DNA with the poisons, the chemicals, the radiation. That's admitted our IQs are dropping, the sperm counts are plummeting, we're falling apart, and they're saying they're raising the safe radiation levels to 25,000 times.
That's right. What,
and they say, look, 25,000 times is good for you, and baby formula over half. Corn syrup, good for you. The kids getting diabetes when they're five, good for you. Turned out the federal government is knowingly covering up that they're mining radioactive isotopes with the fluoride, putting in the water supplies, comes out in local Texas news. Nobody gets in trouble. And so they're shooting kids up worldwide with syphilis. I mean, there's no doubt that they want to wreck the DNA of humanity, and they're waging war against us. So they might as well be from Planet Pop-Tart.
Well, the thing is, Alex, you just reeled off all those different things.
Well, stay there. Got a break, David. We're going to give you the floor when we come back. I want to get more into Libya, more on the economy, more on Bretton Woods, too, with David Icke. I'm Alex Jones. So we live on a planet run by a ruling elite who hates humanity and is doing everything they can to destroy our DNA, give us cancer, and make us basically mentally retarded. You've got a public that's conditioned now where it comes out in Texas that the government is putting radioactive isotopes in the water mined at the phosphate mines all over the country, and no one gets in trouble, nothing happens. And I'm the weirdo for reporting on it. Now, David, I rattled off a bunch of examples of just psychopathic behavior institutionalized with the general public trained to accept it and be thankful for the mass murder. And you were about to make a comment before we hit that break.
Yeah, and it's this. You know, all those things you reeled off, and of course, with more time, you could have reeled off a lot more. There are different aspects of attacks on human health, the human mind, all these other areas of human society. They're from a multitude, a mass of different directions, different subjects, different areas, and they're coming in a coordinated way. Now, does anyone still believe that is being orchestrated by people sitting around the table deciding their next move? It's much bigger than that. These players that we can name are players. They are players out of something. They are not actually the originators of it. It's much bigger than that. And in the next few years, we're going to have to open our minds to that. And a lot of this technology that they're using, which is way beyond anything they're admitting to, is not necessarily only coming from human sources, you know, because they've been doing things for a long, long time that have been high-tech in the areas we're talking about, manipulating the Earth's energy field and therefore everyone within it for a long time. This European Parliament report on HARP from about 1999, it says at one point here, this is from the European Parliament, from the 1950s, the USA conducted explosions of nuclear material in the Van Allen belt to investigate the effect of the electromagnetic pulse generated by nuclear weapons explosions at these heights on radio communications and the operation of radar. This created new magnetic radiation belts which covered nearly the whole Earth. The electrons traveled along magnetic lines of force and created an artificial aurora borealis above the North Pole. These military tests are liable to disrupt the Van Allen belt for a long period. The Earth's magnetic field could be disrupted over large areas, which would obstruct radio communications. According to U.S. scientists, it could take hundreds of years for the Van Allen belt to return to normal. HARP could result in changes in weather patterns. It could also influence whole ecosystems, especially in sensitive Antarctic regions. And it's talking about here the way that it shoots holes in the ionosphere and allows incoming cosmic radiation, etc. Now that, they did those experiments, Alex, in the 1950s.
Well, let me stop you. In the film Trinity, narrated by Captain Kirk by William Shatner, that's aired on the Discovery Channel now 15 years ago, they show the government footage of it when one night firing 10 high-powered nukes into the Van Allen radiation belt and them exploding in space as big white balls. And they said that many of the scientists thought it would probably destroy the atmosphere and the Earth, but they still did it. Now they claim that the Hadron Collider has created a new form of matter. In fact, I forgot to cover that, guys. Just say new form of matter found at Superconducting Super Collider. That was out 2 days ago. And then they go on to say when they first detonated the first A-bomb, around half the scientists thought it was going to ignite the atmosphere and kill everybody on Earth, but they still did it. And then I read this black poetry, this dark poetry out of transhumanist top people saying, yes,
manipulating the Earth's energy field and other things because of what it would be, the effect of it would have upon the Earth's magnetic field and its energy field in general. There's a war going on, Alex, on the Earth's magnetic field and the energy field that humans live in. And it's a war that's been building up for a long time, and we're now starting to put the pieces together and see it.
Incredible. And we run all these patents on air where the light bulbs they're mandating go in will be used for data to go over them through the power lines, flickering, programming your computers, accessing them, and programming you through your eyes. And the first places they're testing them in Texas and Minnesota are police departments. And these are literally mesmerizing mind control systems in the news, and the cops are in there right now. It's Buck Rogers, folks. You know, David's been studying this for 20 years, and so much of what he wrote about 15, 16, 17 years ago has unfortunately come true. And, you know, what do Christians say? They say there's an evil force, the fallen one, Lucifer, with his angels. And you read what's in Genesis and Ezekiel, and they're saying they manipulated humans' genetics. I don't go there. I go with open world government being announced, the pension funds, the death benefits of the troops being stolen, nobody getting in trouble, uranium and other isotopes being put in our water. It comes out the government's doing it and covering it up, but the news calmly reports it. They have been caught since the 50s adding cancer viruses to vaccines. The UN's been caught sterilizing people. Whoever they are, evil whatever, demon-possessed people whatever, the evil psychopaths with continuity of agenda in every country putting the same systems in, waging war against everybody, dumbing everybody down. And now, David, they've entered a phase of flaunting it. More and more they come out and make absurdist statements about George Soros is a humanitarian. He helped Nazis round people up. And if you don't like it, you're a Nazi. Let me just expand briefly. You're staying with us 20 minutes the next hour so we can continue. They come out and Mambiot says, now that these reactors blew up, I think we need more. I now love radiation. Ann Coulter says the people of Japan should be thankful for their radiation. It's good for you. It seems like they're trying to sell us on insanity and getting us ready for even crazier things to happen where they just giggle and snicker and run around. And Al-Qaeda's now our friend in Libya. And if you don't like Al-Qaeda, you're un-American. They're just throwing it all in our... Yeah, the banks launder the drugs. And if we catch you with them, we're putting you in prison. There's just a complete flaunting as they're almost trying to sell delusion where everything's so confusing, people just go into a catatonic state.
Well, that's the word, confusion. The idea is to create so much upheaval in people's lives, so many shocks, so many things to fear, and to keep pumping them out. And we're in that phase now, my goodness me, look at it. And we're going further into it before we can turn this around. So that people are so shocked, are so in fear, and so overwhelmed, almost a fear version of information overload, that they just switch off and enter a state of acquiescence, like a mouse in a laboratory maze that has so many shocks going down certain channels in the maze, it suddenly stops and its behavior is rewired, and you can take the shock equipment away. It ain't going to go down those channels again. You have rewired its perception, its behavior, and this is what it's about. It's about as many shocks as possible, and that's why we have to stay calm and we have to stay strong and not fall for this, not fall into this shock created acquiescence, because you know when people are in fear, they invariably, if they're not strong within themselves, they'll look for someone to protect them from what they've been manipulated to fear, and therefore they'll give their power to that someone or that something as almost like an exchange for protection. Now, what we're looking at now is humanity as a whole being collectively hit by these multi-shocks and multi-reasons to fear, and the idea is to get a collective version of that, which is you give your power away to who you think can sort the mess out or protect you from your fear. And it's no accident that it's in this period where they're playing this collective mind game, this collective behavior acquiescence mind operation, that they're coming out with all these key areas. Like you said, George Soros is going to be pushing the global economic structure. And what we're seeing now in the Middle East is the world army being more and more into the fold.
And the perfect pretext, I want to stop you, I want you to go back into Soros, because he is announcing a global banking regulatory system run by the very bankers that have engineered the crisis now being our saviors. You also sent us a map you want us to put on screen for viewers, not just listeners, to talk about that world army. So let's go over Soros first, then into this world map you sent us.
Okay, well, what... I've been talking about, and others have been talking about for a long time, and it's even in their own documents, but the plan is to, I think we talked about this at some point the last time, Alex, the plan is to make governments irrelevant to sorting out economic situations created by this cabal of bankers. And therefore, the bankers, I mean, crikey, I mean, it's like deja vu what we're seeing now, because what we've been pointing out was coming is now happening on the news. The idea was, I said in 2008, there's a three-point plan here. One is to crash the economy 2008, September, so people know there's a problem. Secondly, manipulating governments to throw vast amounts of money, borrowed money, at the banks to... make the governments reach a point where they can no longer, even ludicrously in throwing money at the banks, they can no longer react. And we're now in that point because now governments all over the world are introducing, my goodness me, in this country, Britain, austerity programs which are taking away the basic benefits from the most vulnerable of people who have been made more vulnerable by the economic crash caused by the banks. And so the governments are in that stage two I was talking about now, where they cannot react. And the idea of stage three is to create another massive economic crash. Governments have no response ability at all. So the bankers, people like Soros, who's a frontman for the Rothschilds, come forward and say, this is how we must sort it out. And he's now openly making those overtures, as you mentioned earlier. So we're seeing this reaching another level of playing out, where the predictions, the sometime over the rainbow, is now in our face, and we're seeing it. And what's happening in the Middle East, Alex, I'll put the picture up on the screen. That picture is of countries that are, and there are more, that are targeted to be taken over by the NATO, European Union, North American cabal. And when I say that, it's not the British doing this or the Americans doing this. It's being done through those countries, using those countries, but actually the American government and the British government and the French government, with old Sarkozy and stuff, they're just satellites of this global cabal. They're not representatives of the people of those countries.
They were captured by the banking cartel many centuries ago, many of them.
Yes, they were.
They're engines.
They're vehicles. And the governments of the world, the vast majority of them anyway, and they want to make it all of them, are actually like transnational corporations, subsidiary companies of the global company. And they carry out the orders of the centrally dictated headquarters of this network. And that's why, as you pointed out earlier, we're seeing the same things being introduced in countries all over the world at the same time. This is how it's done. And if we look at that map, first of all, it's worth looking to the right, where Somalia and Ethiopia and a place called Djibouti, just across the sea from Yemen. That is the African base of AFRICOM. Now, what the American military, and the American military too, is just a satellite military of the global cabal. They call it the American military, but it's not. It has all that money spent on it, fantastic amounts of money. So it basically spends more money on the military, America, than the rest of the world.
Well, notice the French have now invaded via NATO the Ivory Coast and are backing the rebels, slaughtering people. This is AFRICOM moving into Africa.
Exactly. But the reason so much fantastic amounts of money are spent on the American military is not for the benefit of the American people. It's because that is, at the moment, the main point of military military imposition for the cabal. And, of course, Britain, being one of the great centres of the cabal, not the British government, but the City of London, etc., it's always in the slipstream of America when it goes into a country. So from AFRICOM, it was created during the Bush administration, and the question is, why has America got an African command? What? It's Africa. Well, the idea is to pick these countries off. And Zbigniew Brzezinski, in his book Grand Chessboard in 1998, he said that the key area to control the world is what he calls Eurasia. And Eurasia is basically Europe across to China and then down into the Middle East. And what we've seen, Alex, over the last many, many years is that process of picking off the key areas of Eurasia, and now they're moving into Africa. What they want, for a start, is to take the whole of those North African countries over, Morocco, Algeria, Libya, Egypt, where, of course, they've had the trouble. There's now protests in Jordan and Syria. They're the target countries, too. They've got Iraq. They're in there. And then, bingo, there's the big one to the right of Iraq, Iran. Then they're already in Afghanistan. They're totally coldly destabilizing Pakistan. And then just off that map, you're hitting the Chinese border. And these countries are being systematically targeted. And what they're doing in the Muslim world is playing off the divisions, going back, goodness me, tell me it's not true, to the 7th century, between the Shia Muslims and the Sunni Muslims. And the reason that Saudi Arabia and people like the United Arab Emirates are being allowed to go into Bahrain and create and commit terrible atrocities to suppress the people's rebellion in Bahrain, and been allowed to do it with no reaction and no condemnation while everything's targeted on Libya, is because Saudi Arabia, that is overwhelmingly a Sunni Muslim country, and others around it, they want to use them in their targeting of Iran, which is really the center of the Shiite Muslim world. It's dominated Iran by Shiite Muslims. And so if they get Iran, this is the irony, if they get Iran by using Saudi Arabia and these others to support that, then Saudi Arabia will be the next one to go, because there won't be any use to the cabal and the agenda anymore. And at the moment, we've got this extraordinary situation, really, where the United Arab Emirates has sent planes to join the NATO force to protect civilians, it says, in Libya, while at the same time they've sent their troops into Bahrain to stop civilians with protests with violence.
It's incredible. I want to stop you just briefly and remind folks that the Obama deception that came out 2 years ago, Fall of the Republic that came out a year ago, we predict with our experts in both these films that AFRICOM would launch wars all over Africa, starting in North Africa. Webster Tarpley predicted that with precision, off following Zbigniew Brzezinski and other people's statements. So you can show people these two DVDs and explain to them, look at the date of it, and that's what really gets people's attention, is that we understand the globalist program. David, I watch CNN, Fox, you name it now. It is so dumbed down. But what's scary is you have Jay Rockefeller, all these other globalists saying they want to shut down the alternative media now. They are scared because we're not dumbed down. We're watching right. What they're actually doing, and they're beginning to panic.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, in Libya, what's happening there now, Alex, is a classic kind of accumulation of so many things that pull this together. First of all, Libya, and I've got no brief for Colonel Gaddafi. I want all dictators to disappear. But if we're going to be streetwise, we have to see the shades of gray within the black and white that is given to us on the television news. And they have a central bank which issues the currency. And if you do business with Libya, you go through the central bank. That's the last thing this cabal of global bankers want. And it is no accident that, you know, these rebels who kind of appeared out of nowhere, and there'll be genuine people among them who want to end that Gaddafi oppression, but they're just walking into another oppression if they're not streetwise, which they're not. But within those rebels, there's no way that the cover story is adding up. When you've got people apparently being bombed from the sky and these are no-fly zone to help them and all that stuff, and yet at the same time, this rebel group have managed to create a new Libyan central bank, and also a new Libyan oil company. They've already signed an oil deal with Qatar, and the European Union has said to Egypt after this so-called revolution that wasn't, that of course if you make the necessary economic reforms, then we'll give you loans, which will put you massively in debt to us, and that's the idea. So
I'm going to leave it at that. What do you think? Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it goes on about another 20 minutes. But,
a little bit repetitious.
But it's, it brought to light, and it gets into the radiation aspect and the demoralization of the spirit of the human race. And I really, really think that they were onto something there. But this is kind of taxed by the boss. You going to stay with me here? Or?
I am.
This is a quicker one. This is something to the U.S. may give Afghan army military backing for a decade before last exit.
What's that all about?
Yeah, they just came out and they said they're going to stay.
So we're going to leave and just give them money?
No, they plan to stay there. You know, until 2024.
U.S. could use its military in Afghanistan for at least a decade after its withdrawal in 2014. It's part of a new strategy agreed on Sunday. Afghan officials say America will only be able to act with Kabul's approval in what the document describes as being to defend Afghanistan. With our Washington correspondent,
this is Russian TV, by the way.
Yeah.
H. Chican now joins us live with more. Gagne, this could see the U.S. in Afghanistan in some way, one way or another, until 2024, over two decades in total. Well, and he said the U.S. and Afghanistan have agreed on the terms of this new strategic pact, which the presidents of both countries still have to sign. The document is needed to provide U.S. forces with the authority to continue in Afghanistan after 2014, when the Afghan government
supposed to be able to take over the operation, but they're planning to stay there for another 10 years. That's just really wonderful.
Because nobody wants to go there, I guess, huh?
I guess not. This was something that came up today that I thought was kind of funny. It's very strange. Where a 4-year-old was taken into the TSA custody. Because it ran over to her grandmother.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, her grandmother was being patted down. I just want to. This will come up in a minute. Turns out the kids all got through the scanner, and then the mother said something. The grandmother said something off. Thought we had a metal hip or something.
Did she eventually get on the plane, I wonder?
That was pretty bizarre. I'll tell you the story. Just trying to bring it up here. But, here we go. Last weekend, this is from a Michelle Braidmeyer. Last weekend, I traveled to Wichita, Kansas to see my older brother get married. It was a beautiful wedding and reception was fantastic, blah, 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 blah. But despite that, it took place during one of the worst storms in Kansas history, 13 years. We began our trip home the next morning, and I figured tornadoes were the most intimidating thing we could encounter on vacation. I had no idea I was wrong. My two children, aged 4 and 6, were particularly excited that grandmother was catching the flight out of Wichita. Since she lives in California and we live in Montana, they've never had a chance to fly with her, and tired and eager to return home, we began passing through security. My children and I went through without an incident. My mother, however, had triggered the alarm. She was asked to go through the scanner again, and when the source of the alarm could not be the source of the alarm could not be identified, she was told to sit aside and await a pat down, which was routine. And when my 4-year-old daughter noticed her grandmother, she excitedly ran over to give her a hug, and as children often do. And they made very brief contact, no longer than a few seconds. The transportation security officers who were present responded to this in a very simple action in the worst imaginable way. First, the TSO began yelling at Mike Child and demanded she too must sit down and await a full body pat down. I was prevented from coming any closer, explaining the situation to her, or consoling her in any way. My daughter, who was dressed in tight leggings, a short-sleeved shirt, and Mary Jane shoes, had no pockets, no jacket, and nothing in her hands. The TSO refused to let my daughter pass through the scanner once more to see if she would set off the alarm. It was implied several times that my mother, in her brief two-second embrace, had passed a handgun to my daughter.
Oh, yeah, right.
My child, who was obviously terrified, had no idea what was going on, and the TSO involved still made no attempt to explain it to her. When they spoke to her, it was devoid of any sort of compassion, kindness, or respect. They told her she had to come to them alone and spread her arms and legs. She screamed, "No, I won't do that." And then did what any frightened child would do, and she ran the opposite direction.
Yeah.
You want to read the rest of it?
Yeah, I can't see exactly where we are. Just show me where we are there.
Right there.
That is when a TSO told me that they would shut down the entire airport, cancel all the flights, if my daughter was not restrained. It was then they declared my daughter a high security threat.
Four-year-old daughter.
Two TSOs were following her, and again I was told to have no contact with my child. At this point, I was beyond upset. I disregarded what the TSO had said to me, and I ran to my daughter. I picked her up. I hugged her. I tried to comfort her. The TSOs were not pleased. I was forced to set my child down. They brought her into a side room to administer a pat-down. I followed. My sweet four-year-old child was shaking and crying uncontrollably. She did not want to stand still and let strangers touch her. My heart was breaking. I will never forget the look of pure terror on her face. A TSO began repeating that in the past she had seen a gun in the teddy bear. In a teddy bear, yeah, right. The TSO seemed utterly convinced my child was concealing a weapon as if there was no question about it. Worse still, she was treating my daughter like she understood how dangerous this was. As if my daughter was not only a tool in a terrorist plot, but actually in on it. The TSO loomed over my daughter with an angry grimace on her face and ordered her to stop crying. When my scared child could not do so, two TSOs called for backup, saying, "The suspect is not cooperating." The suspect, of course, being a frightened child. They treated my daughter no better than if she had been a terrorist. It was an awful sight. A third TSO arrived to the scene and showed no more respect than the first two had given. All three were barking orders at my daughter, telling her to stand still and cease crying. When she did not stop crying on command, they demanded we leave the airport. They claimed they could not safely check my daughter for dangerous items if she was in tears, and I will admit I lost my temper. Finally, a manager intervened. He determined that my child could, in fact, be cleared through security while crying. I was permitted to hold her while the TSO checked her body. When they found nothing hitting on my daughter, they were forced to let us go, but did not until after they examined my ID and boarding passes for a lengthy amount of time. When we arrived at our gate, I noticed the TSO had followed us through the airport. I was told something was wrong with my boarding pass, and I would have to show it to them again. Upon seeing the TSO, my daughter was thrown into hysterics. Eventually, we were able to board our flight. My daughter is very shaken up about this, has been waking up with nightmares. I don't blame her. What should have been a very minor routine security check was turned into a horrific ordeal. All of this could easily have been prevented if the TSO involved had used a little bit of compassion and a smidgen of common sense. There is no reason for any child to go through this, and while I completely understand the necessity of tight airport security, I fail to see how harassing a small child will provide safety for anyone. I feel compelled to share this story in the hope that that no other child will have to share this experience. I think she ought to write a letter of complaint to Obama.
Yeah. Well, excerpts from, and she quotes an excerpt from the TSA policies. It says, TSA will not ask travelers to do anything that will separate them from their child or their children. TSA especially trains transportation security officers, and they understand travelers' concerns for their children. TSOs will approach children gently and treat them with respect. If a child becomes uncomfortable or upset, security officers will consult parents about the best way to relieve the child's concern.
Yeah, right.
Imagine that.
What state was that?
Wichita, Kansas. It's just from Wichita. Traveled to Wichita.
That's sad. Child will never want to go anywhere again, ever in her life.
Yeah, you could probably never take it. No, no, it's like, holy crap. No. It's curious here about this. FederalJack.com.
Go ahead.
I mean, they don't report anything.
No.
You know, so it's like, you know, I mean, that happens all the time over there. They don't
nobody reports anything.
I mean, CNN, the ABC, you know.
They don't even have news bureaus, so, you know.
I thought this was interesting. Normalization of dystopia.
Dystopia.
Which is trying to deny, you know,
that reality is reality.
Yeah, right.
Sort of like the Emperor's New Clothes.
Right. It's like Louis Tomlin used to say, I'll try to be cynical, but I can't keep up.
Can't keep it up.
But I can't keep up. Writers of dystopian sci-fi have the same trouble keeping ahead of actual reality. Wilson and Shea's elite spokesman enumerated a long list of police state measures, most of them utterly fantastic to American readers in the early 70s, that Americans would be driven to accept. Today, in the non-fictional America of 2012, most of them are considered entirely normal procedures the authorities use to keep us safe. I'll read some of those.
Sure.
That's interesting. I mean, they were keeping tabs on people in the 70s too, but
in the 50s. This is from blacklistednews.com.
And it says, "40 years ago." Robert Anton Wilson and Robert Shea in the Illuminatus trilogy portrayed a near future in which a ruling elite used a wave of assassinations a la JFK, RFK, and MLK to terrorize the American public into accepting a full-scale police state. The assassinations, you see, established the need for such laws in the public mind. A few years of such orchestrated terror and the state would have Americans under tighter surveillance than Hitler had in the Germans.
Yeah, we already are.
As it happens, the real-world impetus to such creeping totalitarian was not ism, rather, was not assassinations. It was the drug war and 9/11, but the overall effect has been very much the same. Wilson and Shea's elite spokesman enumerated a long list of police measures, states measures, most of them utterly fantastic to American readers in the early 70s. The Americans would be driven to accept. Today, in the non-fictional America 212, most of them are considered entirely normal procedures the authorities use to keep us safe. Let us look at this fictional list. Universal electronic surveillance, NSA, warrantless wiretaps, national security letters, no-knock laws. We didn't even need a law to make no-knock warrants standard parliamentarized police procedure.
Paramilitarizing.
Stop
and frisk laws. Again, who needed a law? Ever hear of Rudy Giuliani? Automatic fingerprinting, photographing, blood tests and urinalysis of any person arrested before he is charged with a crime. Standard procedure in most jurisdictions.
Law making it illegal to resist even unlawful arrest. Google that one and you'll find the principle stated in so many words in actual case law. The old common law principle that the constabulary's authority, derived entirely from judicial warrants, is as dead as Sir Edward Coke.
Gun control laws, no comment. Some haven't yet materialized. Government inspection of first-class mail. Although there's recurring talk of smart stamps that make anonymity impossible, and the government keeps tightening the screws on anonymous remailers and upping identification requirements to rent a P.O. box.
Laws establishing detention camps to potential subversives. I'm not aware that camps have been specifically allocated for detention of subversives in a national emergency, but power to detain terror suspects right now without criminal charges is established in law under NDAA and has already claimed by the executive. Whether or not there are dedicated housing already in place for such detainees, the government's quite capable, as shown by the use of Fort Chaffee to house Katrina refugees, of improvising. And you want to keep going on it? There's not that long, much more, but
lost my place now.
So we've got, others have
implemented
steroids.
The obvious example is restrictions on travel. The TSA's passenger processing regime is, for all intents and purposes, an internal passport system for air travel. And the internal passport system is rapidly spreading to other transportation sectors, TSA, VIPR, Visual Intermodal Prevention and Response. Teams have appeared in bus and train stations all over the country. Even driving isn't safe. A VIPR team recently set up a checkpoint in the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel on Highway 64. So we've got an internal passport system fully in place for civil aviation, rapidly getting there for trains, buses, and maybe coming for highways. Remember when internal passports, checkpoints, and uniform goons saying paper please was one of those exotic things that happened in faraway totalitarian states like Soviet Russia? Just like torture. That's another one of those things that only the bad guys used to do. Now that's America's finest do-it to. It's been renamed harsh interrogation techniques. Not that the American soldiers and intelligence operatives never used torture in the past. I mean, we've all heard stories about waterboarding Moros in the Philippines and Charlie being thrown out of choppers in Nam. But back then it was done quasi-officially with plausible deniability for the folks back home in their nice clean offices in Langley and the Pentagon. Now, however, torture has been proclaimed official policy in memos from John Yoo, Alberto Gonzalez, and Donald Rumsfeld. Waterboarding of terrorist suspects, you know, like Japanese soldiers were executed for after World War II, was explicitly authorized by the highest circles of the U.S. government. Oh, but St. Obama did away with all that. Really? You don't think anything nasty still goes on at Bagram? You think of all those former Soviet bloc prisons leased with U.S. black ops money were really just shut down? Let's face it, dystopian sci-fi simply can't keep up with reality.
That's probably true. We've been talking about not Air Force security, but that whole article was about. We've been talking about that before.
About checkpoints being harassed, and it's not right.
And they just passed a law now.
They're taking away the constitutional rights of people for search and seizure.
Yeah, they just did it, and just did it recently with the Supreme Court. So now, you know, there are ten states, I think, that are against that and will fight it to the max. But
I hope so.
But
what's that?
This is on the radiation fallouts. We can go to this.
Yeah.
What's happening is you're having all kinds of mutations, developing vegetable mutations, animal mutations, all these things, child birth defects and everything, and it's due to the radiation and Michigan mutations. This one in particular. I can play a minute or so of that. It's a little longer than that, but we can go to that and just see how it. But having a lot of problems.
And I wanted to share some more mutations that I found today with you. This is the technical term for what's happening to our plants. It's called fasciation. And if you just Google fasciation images, you can see numerous examples of this. This is a black-eyed Susan.
These are all deformed
Here's
plants.
Here's the thickness of a stem.
You're showing pictures. I'm going to ask you to go to this.
Here it is in a cactus.
This is a normal cactus.
You can go to YouTube.
And then it shows how it's
fasciated.
Wow. You can go to YouTube.
Here's a lily. And you can see the thickness of the stem.
Go to YouTube and look for more Michigan mutations or Michigan mutations from fallout. Right? More Michigan mutations from fallout.
Side image. This is a better image. They refer to this as cock's comb, like the thing that's on the top of a rooster's head. Here's a portion of the video that I made last weekend. These were mutated dandelions that I found on Belle Isle in the Detroit River. That's right on the border of Windsor, Ontario, and Detroit. You can see the thickness of this.
It's
very concerning with it being this early in the season. The object was found and your location, and I will be forwarding these to researchers. If you include your name, you will receive proper credit. And I stopped by my daughter's house to show her, and this was a strawberry that she had in a box that she just bought from Myers.
So first she had to dip it in chocolate.
And abnormal shapes. What I've been seeing in my area for almost a year now is that the pine trees are showing a lot of redness in some of their outer branches.
Mm.
It's not insect activity because insects will leave tracks.
Weird.
Or little tubes.
So they're quite deformed.
On the bark of the tree. If there's an
like the deformities that happen when you depleted uranium. You know?
This is happening because of cesium uptake. Pine trees seem to be most profoundly affected by this. And some plants actually do much better. They grow larger. They have more blooms. If you have any fruits or vegetables, though, that look like they have been contaminated because they're showing a mutation, like the strawberry example that I just showed you, obviously don't eat it. The approach has been to let the ecosystem work. Fungi is much more effective than millions of people at containing contamination. Another thing that you may notice in your area is an abundance of mushrooms, especially dark brown or black. The real concern is, of course, if this starts happening to babies, because fetuses are 1,000 times more susceptible to the effects of radiation, and they have rapid cell division. And there is another article that was posted on AnyNews a few days ago that I'm going to show you real quick. Something also called a witch's broom effect, where the bottom of the plant fans out with thickness of the stems. And a Japanese TV show aired photos of mutated plants in Tokyo. They were asking the audience to send in more examples, and they just happen to be dandelions like the ones that we are finding all over in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. So I am sending the pictures that I took from today and from last week, plus the images that were sent to me to this station, and I'll keep you guys posted. All this does is validates or verifies the fact that we need to be mitigating, the fact that we need to become more creative in how we grow our produce outside, and there are definitely steps that need to be taken to minimize the uptake in plants all over this country, and our farmers and people that deal with our food chain need to get on top of this problem right now. So if you know anybody who is in the farming industry, please send them this video and ask them to contact me, and I will forward them some information. Thanks, guys. Stay safe.
That was more Michigan mutations from fallout. You can go to YouTube on that. It was posted 3 or 4 days ago. So more Michigan mutations from fallout. And that's Michigan. You imagine what they're seeing in California.
Yeah.
They're not showing it. This lady just happened to make an interest. We got about 1 minute, and I guess it's we've done enough damage for the night. But I want to thank everybody who joined us, and please join us tomorrow night. I thank everybody for responding to last night. We had a pretty good audience. In the archives, as well as Thursday, we had a tremendous audience.
Oh,
well,
that's good.
I did a thing on demonology.
Oh, that was probably very interesting to a lot of people.
So anyway, it was. But tomorrow night, I'll continue that essay because it was quite. I guess there were quite a few people that were interested in it. So thank you, and hope you have a pleasant evening.
Yeah, thanks for being with us, folks. Listen again for Leo tomorrow night.
Yeah, good night.
Good night, folks.